Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman and Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. And we have a winter IU football update part two for you coming up. We have to talk coaching changes, recruiting, what to expect heading into spring practice, where this program stands after a total whirlwind offseason, which we knew was going to be busy, but not really this busy. So we'll get into that. But first, a word from our sponsors over at ColorCast and Sports Drink. ColorCast is a live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. All you need to do is download the ColorCast app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join whichever league you follow. Come with your spiciest takes. Again, that is ColorCast. Also, today's episode of the Hoosier Huddle podcast is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats. Go check them out on online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in at sports, S-P-R-T-S-D-R. NK, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying to not let the funk out. Anyway, we bring in TJ Inman and Matt Weaver. Guys, how are you doing? TJ, we'll start with you and then get over to Matt.
Yeah, doing great. Excited to talk about IU football. Certainly quite a few changes that were slightly unexpected. And I'm very curious to hear what Matt has to say about that.
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys? Or I guess, how are you? We heard from TJ.
I'm doing all right, hanging in there with school and all that stuff. Have not caught any weird diseases that is the cesspool of school, but we're hanging in there. Spring football is coming, and we'll see. So it is.
You root for the Jets, so you caught something.
Stupidity is not a disease. But I do root for the Yankees, so that makes up for it. Although there might not be any baseball this year, unfortunately. Anyway, back to IU football. Matt, it has been a very busy offseason. We expected it to kind of be busy with some coaching changes. Was this kind of not what you expected in terms of the coaches who did leave and move on?
Yeah, I would say that it was surprising. I mean, you look at, you had two coaches who were here for one season that left. Another coach, I think Kevin Peoples, I think he was here for 2 years. And I think everybody kind of expected some kind of a shakeup with the OC, which happened with, you know, Coach Sheridan being dismissed and Walt Bell coming in. But, you know, I think some of the other changes were surprising just because, you know, these coaches had just come in. I mean, they were brand new and, you know, in Warren's case, it was, I don't even know if you call it a lateral move. He's going from DC to co-DC. But if, you know, he's more comfortable at a North Carolina, you know, that's understandable. And Peoples was obviously a lateral move. And then, you know, Coach McCullough, as far as program stature, Notre Dame is certainly a step up because it's Notre Dame, but you know, and then if it was any other coach who came to Indiana for a year and left, I don't think it would raise the eyebrows that it did, but when it was a guy who left the NFL and basically sought out this job with Indiana, then leaves after a year, I think it's kind of surprising. I would say, while I thought there'd be some coaching changes or staff changes, I'm sorry, just I'm not sure these are the ones I saw coming.
TJ, how about you? I don't think our opinion differs from Matt all that much. How shocking has this offseason been, seeing McCullough leave and Peoples and Charlton Warren?
Well, I think that the first two, being, you know, Peoples and Warren, I don't think that there was all that much angst about those departures. That's not to say that they're not good coaches, and that's not to say that they, you know, would not have done a good job long-term at IU. We don't know that. But I think it's safe to say that the tenure for Charlton Warren was underwhelming in his first season. And then Kevin Peoples, I don't have any concrete evidence or any, you know, scientific reasoning to back this up. But I was never particularly impressed with the caliber of guys that he was bringing in. So I wasn't, you know, broken up about those, and I actually feel really good about the way that those positions were replaced. The McCullough one, twofold. It's a guy that you felt like, okay, the next time he's going to leave IU, but when that happens, it's to be a college head coach. That was sort of the trajectory that I think logically made sense, was, all right, he's leaving the NFL, coming back to college, wants to be involved in the college game, and, you know, a rising coach, associate head coach now for Indiana, things go well there, and he gets a shot at a, you know, a mid-major program to run his own program. That was kind of what was expected. It was a surprise detour when he leaves to take the same position without the associate head coach title at Notre Dame. The second part of that is his sons, which, you know, you've got highly touted, one of them already on the roster, the oldest one, you know, not considered to be an impact player, but on the roster. And then incoming freshman who was expected to be, you know, potential starter this coming season as a true freshman, five-star recruit, you know, the highest ranked player in the modern era to come to Indiana. An upcoming senior in high school also committed to the program. And I think the immediate kind of gut reaction was, oh, the coach is leaving, his kids are going to go with him, the program's screwed, oh Lord. That's, again, I think an understandable reaction given the history of this program and the season that we just went through. So that one was surprising and also concerning in what it could have led to. Thankfully, his sons appear to be committed to IU. They've verbalized that. Matt, did you ever get the sense that there was going to be more to come when Dylan McCullough left? Or was there kind of an immediate, hey, he's going, the sons are making their own decision and are choosing to stay with Indiana, and IU's going to move on, you know, and find a different running back coach, and it's just a running back coach that's leaving. It's not that big of a deal. I'm curious, from your perspective, how much panic was there coming out of Bloomington, do you think?
I really didn't hear much about the expectation would be that they would, you know, McCall, and let's be honest, like you said, the oldest one, Dylan the second, you know, came from Miami, Ohio. I mean, you know, he's not transferring, let's say, to Notre Dame and getting a scholarship. That's not going to happen. So, and, you know, I think him staying in Indiana makes sense for him from that perspective. You know, with Deson and he just started, and you know, even if he can you guys still hear me? Somebody's calling my phone. Wanted to bowl, I'm not sure there was a lot of avenue. I mean, you know, he's obviously a talented player, but it, starting in Indiana and trying to leave mid-semester, I'm just not sure that was realistic. So my guess is you stay, you just got there, but you know, you started this career, do your own thing. I think it's probably better, in my opinion, even though Dylan McCullough come to IU, you got his sons, it might be better for them to be at their own school and not have, because, you know, that could be kind of an awkward situation for his dad, you know, if they're not playing or if they're, you know, whatever it may be, they're unhappy, things aren't going well. I know it worked out for Indiana and height, and I, you know, say this now seems kind of, you may be hypocritical, but, you know, when you look at it, it may be the best situation for them to play at a school other than where their dad is at, because it just could be an awkward situation for the head coach and their position coaches. If it's not working out and their dad's on staff, and it could just be kind of very uncomfortable all around. So, you know, we'll see. You know, Day reaffirmed his commitment. He's the one that's going to be a senior. Obviously that doesn't mean a whole lot. And when I say that, because he's not signed, you know, it's just a verbal commitment and that can be changed at any time, but they seem to be all on board with Indiana. My gut tells me that not only for these guys, but for a lot of players, how this upcoming season goes is going to kind of determine the future for, a lot of things. I mean, I think Indiana needs to bounce back and they need to kind of get the ship righted. They have another poor season, then I think I think all bets are off on what some guys are going to do and not going to do.
Yeah, that makes that Illinois opener very, very important for the future, not only of the players of the program, but probably the coaching staff as well. Matt, with coaches departing, there are coaches coming in. And probably the biggest news coming out of that was when defensive coordinator Chad Wilt was hired. Tom Allen is taking back over the reins of the defensive play calling. It has been a few years since he gave that up so that he could be a better head coach. He thinks he's ready to do that again. Is that something that fans should be concerned about, or is it more of a, leading Wilt by the hand to get that coordinator experience under his belt? And maybe Tom Allen knows that his feet are a little bit to the fire and that he has to win this year. And he's going to, if he can't get it done, do it. The best way to get things done is to do it yourself. And that's what he's doing.
I mean, I think it's a positive thing. I've never understood. I mean, for some reason, there seems to be like when a head coach is a defensive coach and he's also the coordinator, that, well, it's a mistake or it's going to hinder why is it not a big deal that Jeff Brohm's the OC at Purdue or Kiffin's basically the OC at Ole Miss? I know they had Lebby, but let's be honest, he's basically calling plays. And you go to a bunch of other schools, it seems to be like when it's an offensive coach, it's not a big deal. But if it's a defensive coach, it's kind of like, that's not the right thing to do. I think it's a positive. I think this defense let's be honest, they lost their identity last year. They didn't really look anything like they did in 2020 under Kane Womack and the years before that, but they kind of lost their identity. It was a very vanilla defense in my opinion. There wasn't a lot of the kind of the exotic blitzes or just different creative things they did with players. Now, losing a guy like Taiwan Mullen can really, I think we all underestimated how valuable he is on that defense, because there's so many things you can do with him, and him missing basically almost the entire season except for like three games really changed how they could play. But even when he was healthy, they weren't doing a lot of stuff anyway those first few games. So I think you're going to get more of the persona you had before, and I think it's a good thing. And then will he kind of pass the baton like he did with Kane Womack a few years, which that remains to be seen. Maybe that'd be nice if that happens and Wilt can take over and do that kind of a job. But, with Womack, it was really easy because Womack basically had as much or more experience or more knowledge about this defense than Allen did, because he grew up with his dad who came up with this defense. So it's not really an apples to apples comparison because of that. But, Wilt's very highly respected. He's, known as a really good coach. I mean, the D-line and the job that he's done up there recruiting and developing players in Minnesota has been impressive. So I think it was a good hire. And I think Tom Allen taking over the defense, I don't have a problem with it. I don't see how it's going to impact his ability to be a head coach any more than it would impact if he was an offensive guy and me in the OC. So I think it's a positive. And I, you know, to me, I would expect the Indiana defense to look like it did a couple years ago.
Yeah, the defense looked more like the 2000 defense in 2021 than the 2020 season, for sure. Next, IU brought in Paul Randolph to be the defensive line coach. He's coming over from Texas Tech. It seems that Allen's hiring guys who have his vision, you know, his vision in mind. What came across, they all talk about how they're teachers and leaders first, and football coaches kind of second behind those attributes. But Texas Tech rebounded after a 3-5 season. They went on to beat Mississippi State in the whatever bowl that they were in. What does Paul Randolph bring to this that maybe Kevin Peoples and, you know, prior to that, Mark Hagan had at that position? Because it looks like the talent kind of is there. You bring in a couple transfers again from the SEC. What does Paul Randolph have to do to turn that line around?
Is that for me?
Yep.
Well, I mean,
I hope so, honestly, Matt. I hope so, because I sure don't know the answer. So,
and until, you know, they hired him, I didn't know much about Paul Randolph, but it is interesting. And this is just one game, but I watched, I actually watched that Mississippi Texas Tech bowl game, expecting Mississippi State to kind of go to, you know, go up and down the field, and, you know, with the history between Mike Leach and Texas Tech and how that all, you know, him getting dismissed, and Texas Tech's front totally dominated that game. And like I said, it's one game. I'm not saying that means he's going to be a great coach in Indiana, but I was really impressed with how they played, how their defensive line played, and how they got pressure and just really controlled the game. And I think that's what you hope that he can bring to Indiana, a D-line that can really have an identity, can really have a presence, you know, hold up at the point of attack, and then obviously get pressure. That's been the missing component from Indiana's defense. Even a couple of years ago when they had that good defense with Womack, Kane Womack as the DC, a lot of the pressure came off of blitzes. They were really, I think they were one of the top teams in the Big Ten in sacks. But, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of that was because of what they did, blitzing and that kind of thing. You need to be able to get pressure with your front four. And hopefully, Randolph, you know, is the guy that can bring that out, and some of these guys that they have on the roster, and some of the guys they're bringing in, the newcomers. I think what's interesting about these coaches they brought in, Walbell's obviously a younger guy, but he's been a head coach, so he's got unique experience. All three of these guys are really, really experienced coaches. We're talking like 20 to 30 years of coaching. It's kind of, I don't know if that was on purpose, but part of me thinks it might have been, that maybe Allen was looking for guys who have a long history of developing players, coaching guys up. I mean, and with Randolph, with Chad Wilt, and then with Craig Johnson, the most recent hire, the running backs coach, you've got guys who have done this for a really long time. Like I said, I think it could be totally off base, but it just seems to me that there's a common theme with those guys. And then Walt Bell, like I said, is a younger guy, but he's been a head coach. And I know that one of the things Tom Allen was looking for with his OC was preferably if he could find a guy who had been a head coach, because he wants a guy who can just basically run that side of the ball, and then he can kind of focus a little bit more on defense. So, you know, the D-line and O-line obviously will be two of the most watched positions as with quarterback this spring. And it'll be interesting to see how this defensive line changes under Randolph, because it just never seemed to click with Peoples for whatever reason. TJ was right. He just there, and I like Coach Peoples, but it just never seemed, for whatever reason, him and what he was trying to do and the guys he had, it just did not seem to fit. And he was a Womack guy. I mean, Kane Womack really liked him. He went out and got him, and then he leaves. So I wonder if maybe what he was trying to do fit more with like how Womack wanted the front to play, as opposed to maybe what Warren wanted. I don't know. I mean, it just never seemed to come together. So hopefully Coach Randolph and Will and Tom Allen can come together and figure out a way to get this defense line playing at a more consistently high level.
Talking, you mentioned Craig Johnson, new running backs coach. He's coming over. Correct me if I'm wrong. He was an analyst in Maryland last year, but he's had a lot of NFL experience with Giants and the Titans. He was the quarterback's coach when Steve McNair won the MVP, or the offensive coordinator when Aaron McNair won the MVP Coach Chris Johnson, when he ran for 2,000 yards, his coach Saquon Barkley. What does he bring to the position to kind of fill that role of Dylan McCullough, where maybe it's on the field, you're not as worried about, but the recruiting side of things a little bit. Thielen was one of the better recruiters for IU, if not the best recruiter. You know, is that something that, you know, you have enough good recruiters on this staff that he could just slide in there, or is it something that you're kind of worried about because he hasn't gone recruiting in a while?
Well, my thought on that is, I mean, from a coaching standpoint, I don't think there's going to be, and Dylan McCullough is a good coach. Mike Hart did a good job. I don't think there's going to be a drop off there. This is a guy who's, like you mentioned, coached at a high level and coached some really good players and done a good job. He hasn't recruited since 1999. Obviously a lot's changed, not just in college football, but in our world in the last 22, 23 years. Social media was not part of recruiting back then. So that to me is the biggest thing. You know, here's my thing about recruiting. I have no idea how good he recruited back then. You know, I mean, you can't even look up who he recruited because there's no database for it, like on 247. But if you're a good recruiter, you're a good recruiter. Now, will he have to adjust to today's, you know, social media and what kids, how recruits are on a day-to-day basis? Absolutely. But if you can build relationships, and if he, when he walks into somebody's house and says, you know, they know who Saquon Barkley is. Most of these guys probably don't know who Chris Johnson is because they were probably about 8 years old, you know, when he was really good, maybe, you know, around, maybe a little bit older, but they know who Saquon Barkley is. That gives him some cachet and some legit, you know, some credibility. But it's going to be, that to me is going to be the biggest adjustment and the biggest question about him is on the recruiting trail. And yeah, you have a staff of good recruiters, but he's still got to pull his weight. I mean, because you're not only recruiting for your position, you're recruiting areas. And he may be recruiting a quarterback, or he may be recruiting an O-lineman or a D-end or whatever it may be. And he needs to do a good job because the area recruiters start the recruiting process. And then over time, the position coach takes over. But you need, you know, it's just kind of like a relay race. If your first and second leg do an awful job, it doesn't matter how good your third and fourth guys are, you're not going to win the race. He needs to do a good job to start the race so that when they take the baton, they're in a good spot and they can close the deal along with Allen. So to me, recruiting's a question. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good recruiter. We just don't know because he hasn't done it in so long.
Any questions, TJ?
No, that's the biggest concern that I think is a very fair one for IU fans. You can't question the resume for Craig Johnson and the work that he's done in football. Certainly incredibly accomplished. And I think from a teaching standpoint, I think a major asset for this program. Obviously the question is going to be, can he help bring in the players that he can then teach? Because it doesn't matter how good of a teacher you are, if you can't bring in guys that start at a good enough level and have the physical attributes that you need to have to succeed in the Big Ten, it won't matter. So I think that's the biggest question that only time is going to tell on that for Johnson. I think that the biggest question that I've kind of pondered over the past month or so after these changes is, Matt, do you feel like this is kind of these changes are coaching changes happen, which they certainly do, and it's more or less circumstantial, or do you think that there is a larger cultural problem within the IU football program that is causing these coaches to look elsewhere? I guess the question would be, do you feel like there is a larger area for concern that goes beyond just the 2-10 campaign that we last saw? Or is that not even a fair question? Is it, because kind of where I fall on it is the only thing that matters is the wins and losses on the field. And we're not going to know an answer to the culture questions until the games start. And the culture is going to feel great if IU is winning early, and it's going to be rotten if IU loses early. but do you feel that there are underlying concerns that are causing these coaches to look elsewhere?
I think it's a fair question, and I'm not trying to dodge it, but I think you kind of hit it on the head. Time will tell. If they come out and have another clunker of a season, then I do think you got to start looking into, okay, there's something deeper than they just had a bad year because they had some injuries, they had a tough schedule, and those were all true. This is a team that was a top 20 preseason team, and it wasn't like a slow decline. It was like you pushed the car off the cliff. It was a total bottoming out, and it was really, you know, it happened quick. If you can bounce back, and, you know, bounce back to me is, you know, the schedule once again is not easy. It's, you know, to me, it's kind of flip-flop. Last year they started off with, you know, it was really tough kind of the first half. Not that it got easier the second half, but maybe, you know, this year it's more manageable. The first half and the second half is, you know, pretty brutal. But overall, it's a tough schedule. But if you can get back to a bowl game, even if it's just 6-6, that tells me that they're really, you know, maybe the culture problems that we're all kind of, you know, wondering about, or, you know, speculating about, aren't there. But if you have another real season, then I think that's a legitimate question. And if you have more guys, and I say more guys, if like some more coaches, you know, kind of move on, and it's maybe not for what you would consider greener pastures or a step up as far as what their role is, then.
Uh-oh. It looks like we lost Matt for a second. We'll get him back on. But good question, TJ.
Deep state does not want Matt to answer that. There it is.
Yep. Yeah, they cut him off.
He's just getting to the good stuff.
Yep. We have to make sure Matt's still with us.
I think that Matt's right. It is not a question that he can really answer. I don't expect an answer. It's more just I think it's a thought that has to be in people's mind, right? It has to be in your mind with, man, why is Charlton Warren leaving after only 1 year? Why is Devin McCullough leaving after only 1 year?
Yep.
Why is Kevin Peoples taking a position, a very similar one? Now, I will push back on people saying, well, it's the exact same job. Okay, but he's in the SEC now. I mean, that's a step up. I'm sorry. I love IU football, but he got to move to an SEC program, a decent one in Missouri. I'm not claiming Missouri's some SEC East power, but that's a pretty solid program in the best conference in the country.
Yeah. Would you say that position just means more, TJ?
I would say it just means more. It just means more. Yes.
Can you guys hear me?
I would absolutely say that.
Yeah, we got you back, Matt.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry about that. All of a sudden, the Zoom like just kind of froze, and I wasn't in it. So just to finish my thought real quick, TJ's question, I just think we're going to know about the culture problems come, late October, early November. We're going to know where Indiana is as far as their record and how things are going. And if they're, they always say winning cures everything. So you could have some underlying issues, but if you win, nobody knows about it. As soon as you start losing, everything bubbles to the surface. I'm not saying that's what happened. It was happening in Indiana, but losing brings out all the naysayers and the negative stuff and the pessimistic attitude. If they come back to winning, all that stuff will be forgotten and it'll be, hey, this program's on the right track and all that kind of stuff. It's just one of those things where time will determine, where things stand as far as any kind of issues within the locker room and within the program.
Yeah, I think the Illinois, and Matt, we thought you got cut off by the IU deep state media for getting into some secrets there. But I think this, you said by mid to late October, I think you'll know by the time IU goes out to Nebraska on October 1st, where this team is. You have Illinois, Western Kentucky, Idaho, a trip to Cincinnati, all before heading to Nebraska. And Cincinnati, I don't know how good they're going to be, but Fickell's back and that team, and it's a road game. But I think this Illinois game, as much as people pumped up that Ohio State home opener a couple years ago, the Iowa game last year, and things like that, this is a massively important game for IU football in terms of the future, because it's you're on a 9-game Big Ten losing streak. You're playing a team who's, you know, as Jerry DiNardo says on the Big Ten Network, it's a matchup opponent. It's a team that when playing at home, you should win this game. And we'll talk more about that. But if you go and lose, you're right. All those negative feelings come rushing back. And, you know, I don't know how much this offseason is going to wash away and give them a clean slate. IU did a lot of damage going 2-10. And as some fans call it, LEO-9 in the Big Ten. There's a lot of damage that they have to repair, and beating Illinois, even if Illinois is not a good team, or if they are, you got to win that game, because you can't start the season 0-1. You just can't. And if you do, and you have another, as you say, clunker of a season, you might start, you know, you go down the rabbit hole of, okay, you've replaced the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, like 4 other coaches. The next person getting replaced is the head coach. You're just going down the line, and things like that. We'll see if IU has the money. Go ahead, Matt.
I think the narrative will be, if they have another clunker of a season, is these changes have been nothing but rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. That's what it's going to be. And it's not completely unfair to say it. They have another, you know, 2-10, 3-9, even 4-8. I mean, really, you need to try to get back to 6, but I mean, I think you could at least maybe see some progress. And even if they're 5-7, I hate to say that, but I think you could, and you're competitive in a lot of the games, you know, but I think they really need to try to get to 6 wins. And that Illinois game is massive. It's absolutely massive, as Sammy said very well, you know, because the next 2 are games that you should win: Idaho and Western Kentucky at home. And then, you know, you're going to have a couple of telltale games at Cincinnati and at Nebraska the next 2 weeks. So you have a chance. We've said this before. You have a chance in the first 6 or 7 games to make some hay if you come out and you play good football. You know, obviously like you did a couple of years ago, but if you don't, you know, and you're going to that second half of the season with only, like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 wins, it's going to be a game
because you're playing Michigan State at Michigan State, Penn State at home, at Ohio State, and Purdue at home. Not in that order, but they're all those.
Yeah.
That's the last 4 games, I believe. And I think it's back-to-back trips to Ohio State and Michigan State.
I'm actually looking at the schedule. It's at Ohio State. Well, it's Penn State at home, at Ohio State, at Michigan State, Purdue at home, the last 4 games.
Yeah, I believe our schedule is a little bit easier this year. They did not rank it the hardest schedule in the country. I think it's the 7th hardest. So we got a break there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I don't think we've talked, at least not on our podcast, since Indiana acquired Connor Bazelak, not with Matt anyway. Matt, kind of, what are your thoughts on that addition in the quarterback position in general? It does appear, at least going into the spring, that IU's going to have, Sorsby as the true freshman from Texas, another addition we haven't talked about, and a guy with a really intriguing skill set, appears to be raw, but intriguing physical skill set for sure from, you know, football rich Texas. They'll have him. They'll have Dexter Williams coming back from injury. Donovan McCauley coming back after his thrown into the fire, you know, baptism that did not go very well last season. And then Jack Tuttle returning again from injury, and Connor Bazelak, transfer from Missouri. So how do you feel about that position going in? How do you think Walt Bell approaches that position heading into the spring? And do you think IU has done enough to help them with that schedule we just talked about at that position?
I like the quarterback position now. Obviously, they did not play well last year. You know, from Michael Penix to Jack Tuttle to, you know, Donovan McCauley, and then obviously Grant Grimmel got a little bit of playing time. As far as Connor Bazelak, you know, obviously you watch his film from when he's at Missouri. He was, I think, career, he was around 65%, which is pretty good. You know, not going to give you a ton as a runner, but I think if you I say this and we all joke about the, if you can protect him, which obviously that's been a major, major issue in Indiana. That's my concern with Connor Bazelak. Can you give him enough time to get the ball out? Because I think if you do, I do think they have some weapons at receiver. DJ Matthews coming back and some of the guys they've added. I think they have some weapons and some of these running backs they brought in that can do some things if you can give him time and he can get the ball out. But that is a major question. And can you run the ball? But I like the addition of Bazelak. I thought he was a quality pickup. And then some of the guys that come back, obviously Don McCauley was just, and not all his fault, was pretty much a train wreck last year. He was not ready to play. He wasn't prepared, whether that's on him or the coaches. You can make an argument, you know, to me it's more on the coaching because that's their job, but for whatever reason, he was not ready and it did not go well. You know, I'm interested to see Dexter Williams because he kind of reminds me of some of the guys that Walt Bell had when he was at Maryland, the dual threat guys that could really run. And then you mentioned Sorsby. I think he's obviously losing Hoover was a bummer. He was a really good quarterback. But if you're going to get a guy who's going to be your fifth quarterback, I think Sorsby is about as perfect as a guy you can get in this sense. He's a true developmental guy. There's a lot to work with. You mentioned you watch him run 90-yard touchdown runs against Texas competition. You know, he looks like he's got a pretty nice arm. I mean, obviously Huddle highlights are all the highlights, but they're, like you said, an intriguing skill set. And hopefully it should be this way. He doesn't have to play. Like, you can really kind of bring him along, coach him up, and let him, you know, use a year or two, hopefully, and get him used, you know, polish off the rough edges, so to speak, with him. Because I do think there's a lot of upside there. I thought it was interesting. I think it was Tom Luginbill, the recruiting guy, said that he was one of the biggest steals in the recruiting process this year, which was, you know, pretty interesting, and how he's really a late bloomer. So hopefully that's spot on. But I think there's a lot to work with at quarterback. I mean, let's put it this way. It's better than when you had, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago and it was Nate Sudfeld and then nobody else. I mean, let's be honest. That's what it was.
And Cameron.
I do think there are some options. I do think there's some talent, but obviously, you know, it's got to be, last year was just a disaster across the board, especially at quarterback. But I think there are some options and there are some guys who can do different things, and it's just going to be up to Walt Bell to figure out which guy fits best. And hopefully the O-line can just be average so they can, you know, give the quarterback a chance to
get in the way of somebody.
Yeah. Not get both of his ankles, you know,
broken.
Whatever happened to Jack Toto, where the guy basically probably couldn't even walk. So,
yeah. Final question.
Here's what I like about Sorsby. I've talked about this before. I really want Indiana to begin recruiting quarterbacks with a specific plan in mind. I think too often, and this could be on Tom Allen, this could be on Nick Sheridan, I don't know, but I think too often in the past, there has just been we like this player, let's bring him in. I think at quarterback, you need to have similar type players throughout the position so that you can construct your offense in a way that you don't have to go through massive changes when a new player steps in. That you're not always going to have that. That's not always going to work that way. But I think your primary focus when you begin recruiting a class should be, hey, we want this type of quarterback, whether that's we want a precision passer or we want a real athlete at the position or we want a dual threat guy, whatever the case is. You decide how you want your offense to be run and you recruit quarterbacks to fit that offense. I think that Sorsby, and I could end up being totally wrong about this, I think Sorsby is the type of player that Walt Bell wants to have in his ideal offense. I think he wants guys that can get the ball out quickly. I think he wants guys that can be a threat with their legs. And you can do multiple, you know, sets and formations out of it. due to having a quarterback that can run, not necessarily is a run first guy, but that can run. Again, I don't know if that's going to play out that way, but I do like Sorsby because I think it's a good fit for a school that doesn't have and won't have in the foreseeable future great offensive line play. And I want to see IU begin to really be strategic about recruiting quarterbacks with a specific vision in mind of the kind of guy you want to have that you can plug in and keep your offense with the same structure. Don't know if that's the best plan to have in place, but I think it makes sense. And I hope we start to see Indiana employ some of that. Not every guy is going to be the same, but in a general framework, have guys that have similar skill sets throughout that room.
I agree completely with TJ. We saw this, and as good as many good things Kevin Wilson did offensively, you went from Nate Sudfeld to, like, I can't remember the order, but you had Xander Diamant, Richard Lego.
Oh, yeah.
Peyton Ramsey.
Back and forth.
Quite honestly, other than Sudfeld and Lego, nobody was the same. And I can remember Wilson saying, well, the offense doesn't change when Trey Roberson's in as opposed to Sudfeld. That's not true. It's just not true. They're totally different quarterbacks, and you cannot tell me you're running the same plays because Nate Sudfeld does not do what Trey Roberson does, and Trey Roberson can't do what Nate Sudfeld does. And you can't have two different offenses. This isn't the NFL where you can practice as much as you want and all that kind of stuff. This is college football. You have to have a system, and I agree with TJ, where the guys fit. Now, while I do like this quarterback room, they're not all exactly the same. Bazelak and Tuttle, to me, are kind of similar, whereas obviously McCauley Williams and Sorsby are a little bit different. But you know, I think when you have to go out and get a transfer quarterback, you're somewhat limited because there's not a whole plethora of options. So you go out and get as good a guy as you can get. I think Bazelak was a good pickup, but I think down the road, I agree with TJ. I would like to see more of a dual threat guy in Indiana because, unless you're going to play really fast, play a tempo offense, and you could do that with Sudfeld because he couldn't run and he could get the ball out quick. Unless you're going to do that, you need a guy who can move because, unless you're going to start, figuring out a way to get 4 and 5 star offensive linemen and really coaching them up and having guys who are just like in a basement NFL line, you can't put a guy who's not mobile back at center, behind center, and think you're going to be able to be productive on offense. I don't personally see it.
Yeah, the quarterback position, offensive, I mean, this whole team, You're bringing in almost 20% of a new team in spring practice. But let's switch to recruiting real quickly, Matt, before we get out of here. With the transfer portal, with all these things, players leaving, all that stuff, does the staff have a clear plan of what they want in the 2023 class? Or is it, hey, we have a plan, but if certain people leave, we're going to change that plan?
Well, I think you go into every class. I mean, there's certain, I always say you like to get a quarterback. You need to get, in my opinion, you need to always get 2 to 3 at minimum offensive linemen. Now, that'll fluctuate depending on your attrition and how you are at that position. But, I mean, I just don't think you can go – same thing with, like, D-line. There's certain positions you've got to restock every year because, guys get hurt at those spots. Or, to me, those are the biggest – how do I say this? The biggest washout positions, because an offensive lineman in high school, he could look great, but he more than likely, let's say you got a guy at Carmel, I live up here in Carmel, who's 6'6", 300 pounds, he's dominating. Well, he's dominating guys that are a lot of times 250, 260. They might be good players. They're playing in the MIC or whatever they're playing in, but you're not going to know for sure. So to me, you got to bring in those guys every year. The skill position players are a little bit easier to find, receiver, running back, corner, safety. But, the portal has changed things. I think you have your plan. It's got to be more flexible than it was in the past. Let's put it that way. In the past, you could kind of say, this is what we're going to get at each position. This is what we're going to try for. It may be adjusted a little bit one way or the other, but now it can be adjusted quite a bit. And, you may say, we want 4 offensive linemen, but we're only going to take 3 high school ones because we need a transfer for sure. We know that already. Whereas in the past, you may not, it may not be that way. So, the portal has definitely changed how you recruit. I remember talked to a coach, an IU assistant. He told me we are recruiting high school guys, we're recruiting portal guys, and we're recruiting our own guys not to leave. You are now a 3-pronged recruiter as a college football assistant coach. Kind of ridiculous if you ask me, but it is the way it is, what it is. That's where you're at right now. You've got to convince guys not only to come, you've got to convince guys not to leave. So it's not an easy job. And but the portal is just part of it now. It's there's no way around it. Free agency has come to college athletics.
Matt, I think IU, by your count, was either at 86 or 87 this week on scholarship counts. Do you see IU that getting trimmed down to where they could take another guy, or at least trimmed down to the 85 because they have to? What's the future? Is this who else might leave, and you know, who else, if they go below the 85, are they looking to add like an offensive lineman or something like that?
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on names of guys who could leave because I don't think that's fair to the player. But I think if you look at the roster and you look at guys who are – I always say look at guys who are either going to be in their senior year or redshirt junior year or, you know, maybe fifth year, and they haven't seen the field. I mean, it's not – this isn't, you know, rocket science. You can kind of pick out the guys who basically have not played at all and have been in Indiana for 3, 4, 5 years. Those are the most likely guys to leave. Now, there could be some surprises. I think there will be multiple additions to this roster before the fall. So even though they're above the 85, I think they will get down far enough that there will be multiple additions. I think they will look for DN bowl type players. I could see them going after an offensive lineman. And I also could see them going after some help in the secondary. So I think there will be, there will be more attrition. It's just part of college football. Either before or after spring, some guys after spring will be unhappy with where they're at on the depth chart, and they're going to look to go somewhere else. It just happens. It's going to not just happen in Indiana, it's going to happen all across the country. So I think there will be more attrition, and I think there will be multiple additions. So more than one, how many, I don't know, but I think there will be more additions to this roster. And I think in the next couple of weeks, we might hear some more names that are surprising that are no longer with the program when they announce the spring roster. And Tom Allen, you know, does his kind of, you know, before the spring address with the, and he'll, you know, I'm sure he'll talk about that, but I think there will probably be some surprise departures. I'm not trying to say I know who, but there will be some guys I believe that won't be here that people might be a little bit, you know, taken aback by.
All right. Thanks, Matt. That's going to do it for the show tonight. We'll close out with some ads. But thank you, Matt, for joining us. TJ, thank you as well. It's always great to talk IU football, especially in February. Spring practice starts March 5th. No announcement of the spring game has been released yet. Usually it's in April, but we'll wait for an official announcement there. So thanks, guys, for hopping on.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
That does it for tonight's show. We were brought to you by ColorCast. It's a free live audio-only sports talk platform. All you need to do is download the ColorCast app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the league. Come with your spiciest takes and sports drink. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink, spelled like sports drink without the vowels. It is our digital water cooler as well. So thanks, guys, for joining us, and have a great evening.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.